Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And our text for today is the third verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The amazing apple tree as set forth for us here by the bride in the Song of Solomon. Once again, the bride here in this song is speaking about her beloved. She wants others to know what he means to her, and indeed what he is to her. And as she has done elsewhere in the song, here she makes it clear that as far as she is concerned, there is none to be compared to her beloved. There is none like her beloved as far as the bride is concerned. And she's speaking about her beloved in this third verse. And she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. She was not just repeating words that others had said with regard to the beloved. No. What she has to say came from experience. The bride was speaking from experience. And when she said, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sun, she was speaking from experience. For we know that when anyone speaks about Christ and what is to be found in him, they must be able to speak from experience. For example, when the Apostle Paul said, all and to know the Lord of Christ which passeth, and the love of Christ which passeth all understanding, Paul was speaking from experience. He experienced the love of Christ which passes all understanding in his own life. Ephesians 3 and verse 19. For he who claimed to be the chief of sinners experienced the love of Christ in his life from that moment that the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus. And from that point on, Paul knew what the love of Christ was. And when he spoke about the loyalty of Christ, he was speaking from experience, as he did when he said in 2 Timothy 4, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. He doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Speaking from experience. When all men had forsaken him, Paul could say with hand on heart, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And he was the one who strengthened me. I have proven his love I've experienced his loyalty. And also I know what it is to live for Christ. Because again, he's speaking from experience. Paul lived for Christ and lived in Christ. For didn't he say in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Speaking from experience. And here the bride, again, is speaking from experience. She's putting here into words, as best she can, what her beloved meant to her. And she was able to say, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. And she says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And she likens her beloved unto this apple tree, which was among the trees of the wood. So let us look at this apple tree then. We see first of all the apple tree and its setting. She says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. There's the setting of the apple tree. It's among the trees of the wood. She doesn't speak about an apple tree growing in a garden. No, she speaks about an apple tree among the trees of the wood. And as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. Here we see then, first of all, regarding the setting, its location. As far as the bride was concerned, the apple tree stood out amongst all the other trees of the wood. And she said, just as the apple tree stands out among all the trees of the wood, so my beloved stands out above all the sons of men. That's what she's saying. And Christ, our beloved, was one who walked amongst the sons of men. And as he did so, he stood out in everything that he did, in everything that he said, every action that he performed. Paul tells us, Philippians 2 verse 7, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. God was made in the likeness of men. God was manifest in flesh, and he walked amongst men. He was made in the likeness of men. He wept as men weep. He was weary as men are weary. He thirsted as men thirst. He slept as men slept. But as men looked upon him, they knew there was something different about him. There was something different, something divine. As we read in John 1 verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. So there he became flesh, he became man. He walked amongst men, but John says, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He stood out from every other man. No one like him. We could not say that about any person that we know on this earth. We beheld his or her glory. But we can certainly say it about Christ. For as others looked upon him, they beheld his glory in his ministry. But what did they say? They said, never man spake like this man. Never. He stood out. He was like the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Never man spake like this man. And men beheld his glory in his miracles, as we have been seeing in recent weeks. Whenever the Lord wrought a miracle, he revealed his glory. Luke 8, verse 25. What manner of man is this? Whenever the Lord stilled the tempest in the Sea of Galilee, the disciples said, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. See, I've never seen that before. He stood out amongst other men. And they beheld his glory in his message. For when he preached, we read, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. He stood out. He's like the apple tree amongst the trees of the wood. He is man, but he is different in the sense that he is superior, he is greater. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. So is my beloved. He stands out. That's why all who know him and speak from experience, and they can say there is none like him. You can travel all over the world. You may meet with thousands, tens of thousands of people, and you'll never meet anyone like Jesus Christ. He's superior to all. He's more gentle, more gracious. There is more goodness to be found in him than any one of the sons of men. He's like the apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved. So we have the location. We notice also its lowliness. The apple tree. Consider the apple tree being found among the trees of the wood. And when we think of the trees of the wood, we may well think about the mighty cedars of Lebanon. The mighty cedars of Lebanon, a majestic, magnificent evergreen, often growing to 120 feet high. And 40 feet in girth, the cedars of Lebanon. Or we may think of the chestnut tree, a stately tree thriving along the streams and rivers of the land of Israel. Or again, when we think of the trees of the wood, we may think about the mighty oak tree, the symbol of strength. Then we think of an apple tree. And when we consider the cedar, or the chestnut, or the mighty oak, there in the midst of all those trees of the wood grows an apple tree. And in comparison to all the other trees of the wood, we see the lowliness of that tree. And what did the bride say? As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Isn't that how we see Christ? Don't we see him in his humility, in his lowliness? Didn't the Lord himself say, I am meek and lowly of heart? And for us who know him, that's what sets him apart from all the sons of men, from all the men that we ever meet with in this world. None compare to Christ for humility, lowliness. Hebrews 7, verse 26, he's holy, harmless. Christ is harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And didn't the apostle inform us of our beloved? Again in Philippians 2 verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. He's holy and he's harmless. And he says, I am meek and lowly. There, in his lowliness, we see him from the cradle to the grave. We see the lowliness and the humility of Jesus Christ. Compare that with what we see in the world today. We see in the world today the proud, self-centered, self-exalting, self-promoting seekers of this world. And isn't it refreshing then to admire the humble, lowly apple tree and look upon it and see in it our beloved. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. We have considered its location and its lowliness. Let's think also of its loveliness. The beloved has already described himself, because the Lord is the one who is speaking in verses 1 and 2. In verse 1 of chapter 2 of the song, the Lord himself says, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. He speaks about himself in verse 1. And he continues to speak, but he's describing his bride in verse 2. And he says of her, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And then she speaks from verse 3. And she says of him, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. But when we think of the apple tree, do we not think of its loveliness, of its beauty? There's a beauty about the apple tree. For isn't there a time in the year whenever the apple tree blooms? We speak about apple blossom time. And where a lot of apples are growing, people will go one errand to see the beauty of the apple trees as they grow and as they bloom. And when it comes to autumn time, to harvest time, we look upon the apple tree again and we see its branches laden with fruit. There is a beauty about the apple tree. And the bride says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. And isn't there a beauty about Christ? Isn't there a loveliness about him that we will not see anywhere else? No matter where we look and look upon Christ, we see his loveliness. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where we look. When we look to him, we see his beauty and his loveliness. There's not a blemish to be found in his life. There's not a flaw to be found in his character. There's not a fault that can be found in his words, his actions, or his deeds. And even those who hated him and they examined him and they looked upon him, and one of those who hated him was Pilate. What did Pilate say? I find no fault in him. When we look upon someone who we're familiar with, we know their faults, but we overlook them. But whenever an enemy looks upon us, they'll see every fault. And they'll not be slow to tell us or to tell others. And so here was one who was the enemy of Christ. And he examined him up and down, through and through. And the enemy of Christ couldn't find a fault in him. And no one can. And no one ever will. For he is lovely in his perfection. He is lovely in his sinlessness. He is lovely in his righteousness. He is lovely in his holiness. He's lovely in his purity. And with the bride, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, we can say, yea, he is altogether lovely. Let the bride tell us again, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. So there we have the apple tree and its setting. It's among the trees of the wood. Then the bride goes on to speak about the apple tree and its shelter. For she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. The word shadow means shade. Can be translated shade. I sat down under his shade with great delight. So she speaks of the apple tree giving her shelter or affording her shade from the burning noonday sun. Let us notice first of all her posture. Her posture. She says, I sat down. There's her posture. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. When we think of her posture here, do we not think of her peace and her rest? She's resting under the shade of the apple tree. That's what the bride received from her beloved. Peace and rest from the burning trials of life. She found in her beloved a peace and rest that none of the sons of men could give her. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. She didn't find this peace or rest anywhere else. She didn't find this peace and rest in any other person. She found it in Christ alone, alone. She found it in her beloved. Doesn't our beloved give us that peace and rest from the burning sun of trial and tribulation that beats down upon us at times? Psalm 91, verse 1. David says that he would abide under the shadow of the Almighty. During the long days when Job suffered loss of friends and family and health, and the confidence and support of his wife, she said, curse God and die. Well, the Lord, speaking about Job, said this: he, that is Job, lieth under the shady trees. The shady trees cover him with their shade. Job 40, verses 21 and 22. That's the Lord speaking to Job. And here he tells us that Job found shelter under the shade of the trees. The bride speaks about finding shelter and shade and peace and rest under the shadow, under the shade of her beloved. And as we read in Isaiah 25, there in the verse 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, speaking to the Lord. Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storms, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Here the prophet is speaking about the Lord. And the prophet says that the Lord would be a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow, a shade, a shade from the storm. And Christ is our shadow. Christ is our shield from the storms of life. And we can do what the bride did. We can adopt the same posture. We can sit down and find peace under the shadow of the Almighty. Christ is the Almighty. Did the Lord say, I am meek and lowly of heart, ye shall find rest for your souls. speaking about himself. Ye shall find rest. And we'll find rest in Christ and find peace in him, even in the midst of the storms of life, because Christ is our shield. As well as her posture, we see also her place. Her place. The bride says, I sat down under his shadow or his shield with great delight. She didn't go and seek rest and solace by sitting under the shade of the trees of the wood. There was only one place for her to go. Speaking about her beloved, when she needed comfort and she needed help, she went to her beloved. That's who she went to. Likewise, among the sons of men, there is only one to whom we can go, and only one who will give us peace and give us rest and give us shelter. He's our beloved. Praise his name. He is our beloved. Who else can give us the peace of God which passeth all understanding? None but Jesus. Who else can give us rest from our troubled hearts? None but Jesus. Who else can make the claim, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Who else can make that claim? None but Jesus. Only Christ, who is the God of peace. That's why the bride said of her beloved, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shade with great delight. Her posture and her place. Notice also her pleasure. The bride said that she sat down under his shadow with great delight. In other words, for her, it was a delight. It was a delight to find peace and protection from her beloved. It was her pleasure. Indeed, the word delight is elsewhere translated desire. And so there you have the thought of the bride. And she desired to be with her beloved. She desired to sit down under his shadow with great delight. It was a delight to her to be with her beloved. Now the same word is found in Isaiah 53 and verse 2. He shall grow up as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Same word. No beauty that we should desire him. But that was when the God of this world had blinded our eyes that we would believe not. You remember those days? Your unconverted days when you didn't know the Lord? You may have heard the word, sat under the preaching of the word. But there was no beauty in Christ that you should desire him. You couldn't see the beauty of Christ. You heard the word, but your eyes were blinded to the beauty of the Lord. There is no beauty that we should desire him until the day the Lord washed us from our sin and our eyes were opened. And praise the Lord for that day when we saw the beauty He saw the loveliness of it all and everything about him. It was beautiful. Everything about him is lovely. Everything. We take delight in his company. It's a delight, is it not? It's a delight to be in God's house. It is a delight to be in the place of prayer with him. It's a delight to walk with him. It's a delight to be in his company. And we take delight in his commandments. We take delight in his word. Psalm 119, verse 143. Thy commandments are my delight. We may not always be delighted to obey the commandments given to us by the sons of men, by the men of this world, but it is a pleasure for us. It is a pleasure. It is a delight for us, is it not, to carry out our beloved's commandments. We delight to do his will. It's a delight to us. There's something wrong in the heart of a believer who does not take delight in obeying the Lord's word and carrying out his will. Our beloved and all that he says and his word is a delight. It's a delight for us to hear the word. Delight for us to do his will and obey his commandments. Read in Isaiah 58. And there in verse 2. Yet they seek me daily. This is the Lord speaking. They, his people, seek me daily. And delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and pursued not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. Listen, they take delight in approaching to God. Sure, you couldn't beat that. Take delight in approaching to God. And do we not take delight in approaching our beloved? We're going to meet with our beloved today. We're going to spend time speaking with our beloved today. Is it delight, is it not, to be in conversation with him? Spend time in prayer. Now we see why the bride said, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Why is she sat under the shadow of the apple tree? She was right there with the apple tree. When we come to Christ, there's nothing delights us more than we are sitting with him. And in fellowship with him. So we have seen then the setting, the apple tree and its setting, the apple tree and its shelter. That leads us in the last place to the apple tree and its sweetness. For the bride says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so was my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The apple tree and its sweetness. Of all of the trees of the wood, The apple tree was the tree, the fruit bearing tree. And as she partook of the fruit of that tree, she said, speaking again from experience, she was able to say, his fruit was sweet to my taste. Here we have, first of all, the fact. There's a fact here. Remember, the bride again is speaking from experience. She has tasted the fruit of the apple tree and found it to be sweet. And she's declaring or stating a fact. Indeed, what a wonderful word is used here to describe her beloved. What a wonderful word is that word. I'm sure we have used that word when looking at a child, a little infant. We'll say, my, isn't he sweet, or isn't she sweet? We know what the word means in that context. But here she, the bride, uses the word when speaking about her beloved. For she's able to say, his fruit is sweet to my taste. When we speak about Christ, our beloved, we can refer to him as being sweet. He is sweet to us. Have we not experienced the sweetness of his presence? Have we not experienced the sweetness of his fellowship? Being in fellowship with him, we have testified of that sweet time we had with him around the throne of grace. And in Christ there is to be found a sweetness that will not find anywhere else in this world or in 10,000 other worlds. Back in Northern Ireland, there's a tree called an apple tree. But there's another word put in front of it. It's the crab apple tree. I don't know if they'll grow here or not. Crab apple tree. Oh, it's usually laden with apples. But you take one bite out of an apple and you'll soon spill it out again. It's as bitter as gall. Nobody eats apple, crab apples. That in contrast to the apple tree that the bride is speaking about here. Because the fruit of this apple tree, she says, is sweet. And the fruit that Christ produces is sweet to the taste of his people. That's why we can say with the psalmist, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And all who know him not, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. Taste today. Taste Christ today, and you will see that he is good. And you will see that he is sweet. Don't we live in a world that's consumed with bitterness? Every day, it seems, every day, we hear of some action of some individual against another, all born by the letter. But look to Christ. And what do you find there? There's not a trace of bitterness in Christ anywhere. He is sweet from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Oh, taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good. And that's a fact. We think of the apple tree also and the food. Isn't that what apples are? Refreshing food for the body. That is what our beloved is to us. He is food for the soul. Not what the Lord said, but eat his flesh and drink his blood, speaking spiritually. Our souls feed on Christ. That's where we get our strength, our sustenance. We feed on the Lord. Do you remember when God sent the manna? When the children of Israel journeyed in the wilderness, do you remember how that manna is described? It's described in Exodus 16 and verse 31. A small, round thing, that's what it was in appearance. But what was it to taste? What was it like to eat the manna? We are told the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So it was sweet. It was sweet food. Now, go over to the New Testament and look at the words of the Lord Jesus in John 6. In John 6 and verse 48, what did the Lord say there? John said, or the Lord said in John 6 and verse 48, he said that he is the bread of life. I am the bread of life, verse 48. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for life of the world. So what's the Lord doing? The Lord is saying, I am the manna. I am like that manna that came down and lay in the ground for the children of Israel during their journey through the wilderness. I am the manna. And if the manna tasted like wafers and honey, that tells us the manna was sweet. That tells me also Christ, as our manna, is sweet. He's as sweet as honey. He is sweet. And he also is the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. And what does the psalmist say in Psalm 119 and verse 103? How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey. It's Christ. He's the sweet mama from heaven. He is the sweet word made flesh. We partake of him. We feast on him. And all who do so find him sweet. What did the bride say? As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. Among the sons of men, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Isn't he a wonderful story? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving God and gracious Father, we thank thee afresh for thy Son. We thank thee, Lord, for one who is the food of our soul. And when we taste of him, we find him to be sweet. He's as sweet as honey to our ears. He stands out amongst the trees of the wood. He stands out above all the sons of men. He is superior. He is greater. He is divine. And he is altogether lovely. For he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And we love him today. Lord, write this word upon our hearts. May we rejoice in Christ our Savior, in the one who is likened unto the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Lord, be with us throughout this day. Bless us, O God. Return us to thy house this evening to seek thy face and to see thee, Lord, as thou art revealed in thy word. Bless us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now.